Greetings, everyone. Thank you all for joining us here. This is Dr. Will Tuttle. It's September 16th, 2021. This is our World Peace Diet Circle call for this month, the third Thursday of September 2021. I started a few minutes late because I couldn't bear to interrupt that song. It's one of my personal favorites. And we were in Taiwan, kind of the last time before we could really do a major lecture tour. It was in, Christmas of 2019. Remember the good old days, pre-COVID? And we did a lecture tour there, and at the end, the last day on Christmas, actually, Christmas Day, we did a concert, and they especially wanted me to play the cow song for them. And they had about 200 or 300 people in the audience. It was really a beautiful space. And I played that song. And there's something, I think, tremendously sad about what we're doing to cows, what we've been doing for the last 8,000 years to those wonderful animals, and how we just imprison and brutalize them seemingly with no remorse. So in honor of the cows, I couldn't stop that piece. Keep in mind their suffering they endure. I just heard, I'll just mention this one other thing, that this ongoing kind of a fiasco, really, it's not in the big picture, it doesn't seem like a big thing, but you know, we live not too far away from Point Reyes National Seashore. It's part of the national park system in Marin County. It's a beautiful place. And some of you will probably know what I'm going to say, but there's been a bunch of activists have been trying for, you know, quite a few years, and especially this last year, to do something about the dairy industry. I mean, they have dairies out on this land that's beautiful, right by the water. And they're completely destroying the native habitat and killing the wildlife. I mean, the farmers, of course, have fences everywhere. So now the elk are fenced in small places where they can't. They have them actually fenced in enclosures like they're in a zoo, but they can't get water. And so activists have been going out and filling up 5-gallon jugs and trying to bring it to a place where they can, the elk can drink, but they're literally dying of dehydration right there and hunger. And finally, a couple of days ago, the National Park Service made the great decision everybody was waiting for. There was like 5 different paths forward. One was to actually remove the dairies, which was what was promised about 20 years ago. They were supposed to be out of there. They paid the dairies off and everything. But then corruptions crept in and they let the dairies stay on and they never left, even though they got paid to leave. So that was one option. Another options were various, and the worst of all possible 5 options was that they would just start shooting the elk, get rid of the elk, keep the dairies. So that's what they chose. They chose to keep the dairies. And instead of just extending it for 5 years, that was the worst possible case. They were going to extend it for 5 years. They actually decided to extend it for 20 years. So, I mean, it's like, and I'm sure this is, you know, neither here nor there, but I just know that if Trump was in office, everybody would be screaming at Trump. It's his fault. It's his fault. Of course, you can't blame him anymore. So I guess, here we go. So the cows, bless their hearts, I mean, it's not their fault, but that water off the coast of Point Reyes is the most polluted water in the state of California, right? I mean, it's right off the National Seashore. It should be the cleanest, and it's actually horrifically polluted. It's just deadly water from the runoff from these dairies. So there we go. Anyway, that's nothing to bemoan at this point, but to just, I guess, be aware that our work as vegans really includes questioning the official governmental narratives about everything, which it seems that people are failing to do. way too much. And I'm hoping that we can, each one of us, by our actions and our words, be part of the healing and part of the awakening of our species here. Definitely have a challenging time. All right, so this is our time to respond to questions and to have a conversation. I do have a wonderful guest today. I'm really delighted. His name is Mike Young. Before I introduce him, I'd like to go ahead and just do our traditional meditation that we like to do before we get started. So our main meditation time is on the first Thursday of the month. And this will be a much shorter one, but let's go ahead and do that now. I'm seated at the piano here, so hopefully this will all work okay. You can hear me and you can hear the piano. So as we enter our time of meditation, let's just take a moment to relax. We hold all the beings in our hearts. We understand that there is a tremendous amount of suffering on this earth. There's also a tremendous amount of joy and freedom and peace and love. Every being is a manifestation of the infinite love that is the source of this flowering of creativity here. A dazzling array of beauty everywhere we turn. Miraculous. Completely inexplicable. Interconnectedness. So we give thanks for our time here on this earth. We give thanks that we are born right at this perfect time. And we just allow ourselves to enter into this present moment that we share together. Abiding as a circle, our world peace, vegan circle. And we give thanks that this circle is ever expanding and including more and more people and is connected to countless other circles of relationships. And so now we feel our hearts opening to the light that shines at the heart of the universe, the light of infinite loving creativity is shining in our heart always. As our heart opens with loving kindness for all living beings. So we see our heart radiating this light, this beautiful white light, in ever-expanding spheres, blessing all the birds and flowers and trees, all the animals, all the human beings in our life. Beyond the boundaries of our narrow space to include the entire world, the entire planet. So we see the earth bathed in the light of this love, that this is the truth in the time that exists as this present moment of eternity. Every living being acknowledges at the depths of their being, their source, in this love that binds all of us in unity, in harmony, in peace, in joy, in compassion, in kindness, in freedom, in truth, in abundance and tenderness. As we just take time now to savor this precious opportunity that we have to be together here on this call, connected through our aspiration, our yearning, that allows us to find a way to reach out to each other across time and space. And so we welcome everyone who listens to this recording later, knowing that you are also part our circle, our sangha, our community that goes beyond this lifetime, as we open to the bigger picture, breathing and radiating love, breathing and radiating compassion, breathing and radiating joy, breathing and radiating peace. So we bring our meditation time slowly to a close. By feeling the gratitude in our heart for this precious opportunity of our human life to extend hands and thoughts of kindness and caring for others, to be a force for healing, to be a counterweight to the illusions of fear and domination and exploitation, to be a light in what sometimes seems to be a dark space of ignorance here, to be the joy of being, of giving. We give thanks that we are part of the awakening of human consciousness, the benefit of all living beings, of the past, present, and future. Thank you. Through the infinite spirit of truth and love, we give thanks, knowing this is so. And so it is. Okay, well, terrific. Thank you again, everyone, for your presence here in our circle. And I'll go ahead and just open it up now to the next part of our time together, which is to have a chance to hear from and see our wonderful special guest, who is Mike Young. And Mike and his wife Denise and Madeline, the four of us, it feels like we have a lot in common. We've been traveling in vehicles. You know, I have to tell a quick story here. It was so funny because we were, last year, as you know, we drove all the way from California to Florida in our little micro van. It's a little tiny minivan. If you know what it is, it's a, Ford ProMaster City. And so we actually ended up living in that for the whole time, about 4 months. A little bit of the time we were in rooms, like at Hippocrates, and some of the time at my sister's, but a lot of the time we were just living in the car, in the little van. And so we did I gave a talk at a, Veg Fest in Ocala, Florida. I think it was in the early March or late February, earlier this year, and it was organized by Mike. And the night before that, we had rendezvoused with a friend of ours that we met at Hippocrates, who was from North Carolina, from Asheville, and he was living in a van too, but he had a big van. He had one of those Mercedes Sprinters. And so we stayed next to each other in the parking lot of a Holiday Inn, and he showed us his van, and we were like, whoa, this is huge, you know, what a big van. And then we came back into our little tiny van, and we kind of thought, wow, you know, they have really a huge van, but, I mean, he does, but, you know, ours is so tiny, but, you know, we're doing all right, it's great. And then we went to the Ocala Veg Fest, and lo and behold, Mike and Denise showed us what they were living in, and it was a Tesla car. They were happy, just as happy as we were in our van, just as happy as our friend was, Sean, in his huge Mercedes. But they were happy in their little Tesla. I just loved it. He said it was great, and I thought, okay, I got to ask Denise, see what she says. And she said, oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, we just learned to, we both turn at the same time during the night, you know. They only had half of the width of the car that it slept on. I mean, it's really amazing. Of course, vegans are amazing people. And, we're thin and strong and happy and, you know, doing our mission here. And I think that's really a precious thing. So I'd like to, just say, you know, I'm so grateful for Mike because he embodies this spirit of adventure and of giving, and he's setting up just a whole boatload of vegan festivals. And I've been bemoaning the fact that most of the country, veg fests are over. You know, we used to travel into veg fests all the time, and now with COVID, people are locked down, nobody wants to do anything, everybody's afraid of each other. And then Mike just steps up and he says, look, we're doing it. And he just organizes these veg fests, you know, and all over the place, all over Florida and, other states in the Southeast. And so, I just think, it would be so great to just, talk a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and, if you can unmute Mike, that would be great. And then we can, get started. So.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Oh, perfect. Yes. You're okay. Looking good.
Yeah, that was a great introduction. Yeah, let me just tell everybody, Denise and I did have a great time last winter because most of our events were canceled until late winter happened when we met up with Dr. Tuttle. We had already traveled most of the country, actually, in the car with my wife working in the back seat because we got the data working and she could log into her, was it VPN at work, and that was it. I would drive during the day. She was working in the back seat, and we'd be in a different place every day. We'd never done anything like it. We just did it last second, basically.
Wow.
And then we ended up going all the way to California, probably near your house, Dr. Tuttle, and then, because we went up near the Redwoods, came back down again to Florida for our events. And yeah, we were able to do 3 events last year. Well, actually this year, right? It was January, yeah. February, and March. We did 3 events. Is it 3? I'm gonna think, I think it was 3 events. I'm not sure if we did one in February or not. I can't remember. Oh yes, we did. We did 3 of ours, and we actually helped Shannon Blair with one in March. So we did 4 altogether in Florida. They were a lot smaller, but we have high hopes now. We think that was a different time in the beginning of the year, and we're hoping that there's a lot more support going forward, and very grateful for Dr. Tuttle's support too, because Dr. Tuttle will be mostly in person at these events, and we have 17 VegFest events planned in the next year, most of which are in Florida, or at least half of which are in Florida. And then we've got 3 of our annual update farm-to-table events, which actually happen at plants-only farms. And Dr. Tuttle and Madeline, I think, will be at 2 of them that we have scheduled in Florida. And the first one's actually up in the D.C. area, which is where I happen to be right now. So we have some good partnerships with farms that just grow only plants, and that's kind of, we decide that those are going to be like our updates where we're going to tell people all of what we're doing. Because I want to talk to you guys now, but I'm sure there won't be enough time for me to tell you everything that we're doing. We're into so many things, and we're very thankful actually that there are all these opportunities, because, you know, we started our nonprofit, which is right behind me. Let me make sure I get out of the way. A plantbaseddiet.org, which is a 100% vegan organization. We just focus on, like Dr. Tuttle talks about a lot, leading people towards organic whole plant lifestyle.
Great.
Right? But beginning with getting rid of animal products. That's the beginning part, right? So, anyway, we have so many things involved with the nonprofit, and that started in 2014 with just really social media groups, and it's exploded into all these things that we're doing today. We just hope that there'll be a good climate for these events. You know, we hope that there'll be good reception from people, and we view ourselves as educational organization, and just leading people wherever they are along this path, along this journey, you know, because it's a journey for me. I don't claim to have it all figured out. I don't claim to be perfect in this. I'm learning. I'm trying to be ahead of everyone else, you know, so we can teach them in the process. So we've got basically social media, live events, and what else are we doing? Dr. Tuttle, you and I have talked recently. We've got some projects in Ecuador too that we're working on, where we are involved.
Right.
Intentional yeah. communities, because I know Dr. Tuttle has a house and has been in Ecuador. You're familiar. You're more familiar than I am with Ecuador, because I'm new.
Right.
To it. But anyway, we started there 2 years ago. I'm glad she went with me to Amazon Fruit Festival 2 years ago, and then we went last year again. And we're actually building a property on one of the intentional communities. And these communities are mostly, not fully, but most people there are organic, raw, vegan, fruitarian, I'd say. Most of the people that are there. And the idea is to build a community around that mindset. So those communities are getting bigger and bigger. The one community we're building in, Terra Frutas, has about 350 acres. That will probably not get any bigger than it is. But the other one, Fruit Haven, that's probably like 500 acres now, and it's growing rapidly. It just keeps expanding. People keep finding out about it and spending time there, although Fruit Haven's newer. Terra Frutas has been around since 2014, which coincidentally, that's when I turned vegan myself. And they've been growing plants since then, so they're getting to have a good permaculture food forest there to be eventually self-sustainable. That's the goal. And then Denise and I are working on our own personal house in Florida, which I hope will be very unique and maybe be an example for where I think real estate and food, just personal food growing should go. And I know, you know, I've talked to Dr. Tuttle about what he's got in California too. I've talked to so many people about who are into permaculture on their own properties. And what we're doing actually is designing a passive solar house in Florida that will not be like a northern passive solar house. It won't have a wall of windows facing south. It'll actually have a wall of windows facing north so that you don't get any direct sunlight in those windows. And it'll have a two-story roof on the north side going down to a one-story roof on the south side so that it's fully angled for solar so that it could be off-grid. And actually, the more I think about it, I need to talk to the people that are involved in this project and find out if we will be off-grid, because we will probably be able to produce more solar than we're going to need for our property on a probably 100% consistency basis because of the way we've designed this house. Because you approach it from the side, so the side you think might look like this, right, like with an angled roof, a shed roof, but we had a designer who we gave him the challenge of making it look good. You know, some house that someone would buy or want to live in. That was the challenge we gave him. And that would be approved. It's in a community, too. It's in a subdivision. So it has to be approved. And it was approved by the subdivision. They actually said it was really cool. That's what they said. And then the other part of this is we're designing a food forest on the whole rest of the property. It has a pond. It's only 1 acre in size. That's it. It's 1 acre. But it has a pond on a third of it. It has a what some people claim to be the oldest pine tree in Florida on another part of it, between 1 to 200 years old. So we're not going to touch anything around that root system. Keep that the way it is. Then we're using the rest of the property, though, for the house and the food forest. And we have a food forest designer down there in South of Florida. And he is going to design this entire project for us to be planted in with no lawn, no lawn at all. And we told him kind of the same thing we told our designer for the house is it's got to look good. You know, it's got to look good, and it's got to, ultimately, the goal is self-sufficiency also. Like, we would be able to eat completely off this small piece of property that we have, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the realisticness of that, but that's the goal.
Great. Well, see, I love your spirit. You know, you have this feeling of you got to just try it and be an example.
Yep.
You know, and I think if we're not an example for other people, that's an inspiration. So I think, you know, I think it's really possible with the solar. The thing you got to remember, of course, like where we are, we pretty much feed into the grid, I would say, at least 9 months of the year we're giving to the grid. Only 3 months of the year we're actually pulling from the grid. So overall, you know, we're not using the grid. I mean, we're giving that more than we're taking. But we have a backup battery. But I think where you are, you could probably, if you have a good, you know, get a good battery, you could maybe be off the grid. We have somebody, I think, on the call, our good friend Lily, who's been living for years completely off the grid up in Northern California and loves it, up, you know, the wilderness. But I would say definitely if you can find your way to do that, that's great, because the more we can get away from the centralized systems of domination and violence, you know, just get away from centralized energy, centralized food, centralized information, and make our own information, basically our own news, and connect and make our own food and make our own energy. That's really important. Your challenge probably will be if you need, you know, cool, you know, like it takes so much energy to run air conditioners. So,
yeah.
So that'll be the thing, you know.
Well, actually,
the way
the
to
house,
do the fan, you know, fans are great, you know. But.
Yeah, because you know Florida.
I do.
Well, Florida's great in the wintertime, but in the rest of the year, yeah, you have to have air conditioning. But if you got lots of rain in the summer, but it's hot and humid as can be. The problem also in Florida with the food forest is it's like a desert climate in the winter. It doesn't rain that much, and sometimes they have problems with wildfires because of that. But the bigger problem is the depth of your landscape if you don't have proper systems for watering. And we've already talked with the designer. We had to have, you know, we're going to have three systems for that. We're going to have one where you're pulling some water from our well, which we have to have installed, another where we're pulling water from the pond, which is, you know, takes up about a third of the property. And the other one will be collecting rainwater. And this will be designed from the very beginning, you know, as a intertwined system of backups for all these things.
Great. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, I mean, you can go far. You can go to the point where you're even, if they'll let you, recycling, like we do anyway. We recycle all of our gray water. You can recycle your gray water. You could have compost and toilets, perhaps, if they allow it. But it's so good to, you know, it's so great. I mean, it's so great to recycle. It's such a great feeling. I mean, it's fantastic, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and
that's actually one thing we noticed in the communities in Ecuador where we were staying. Both times that we've stayed, we haven't created any waste.
Right.
And they haven't really made a big deal about promoting it like that, but that's that was a big takeaway from me, was that I didn't need to create any waste.
Yeah, it's a way of living. How people have been living for thousands of years, they didn't create waste. You know, they basically recycled everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really important to get back to that. But I want to go back, if we can, Mike, just briefly to the Veg Fest and your big work with that. Can you say a little bit about, this is almost like a one-man show. I mean, you're doing so much of the work. How do you actually do this, and what is your vision and motivation for these Veg Fests?
All right. Well, first of all, you may wonder, like, how I'm earning a living. I can tell you I'm not earning a living off doing this. This is all volunteer work, believe it or not. Okay. There's anybody who's run VegFest can attest that you might have a little bit of money left over one year, but then some year you might lose money. The goal is just to kind of break even, you know, consistently. And then it's even more of a challenge now after this pandemic, you know, it's more of a challenge than ever. And we've actually picked up new events because of that. And actually, I think I told you, Dr. Tuttle, Gainesville VegFest reached out to us and we are taking that event over. So that will be announced within the next week. But, okay, motivation. I mean, I have a paid job that I do that brings in other stuff for me. So this is all done on the side. It's hard to believe because I'm constantly working on it. You know, it's always working on it, which is fine. I mean, we're always connected. I'm always on my device. I've always been self-employed as well, and I'm 51. So I've been self-employed before people knew what that was or when they thought it meant unemployed. You know, that's what it used to mean, I think. Yeah. So anyway, I know how to budget my time. I guess I've gotten better and better every year. And it kind of, if I were to sit down, which I'm standing up now, by the way, I don't like to sit down if I can avoid it.
Good.
And think about all of what we're doing and what we have planned next year, I probably might wonder how this is going to happen. But I feel like we keep learning rapidly. You know, we make a lot of mistakes, but we keep learning from them and we keep getting more efficient. That's something I've done. I've always seemed to do that. I'm always living into the future, I feel like. Not as far as Elon Musk, okay, but I am living into the future, I think, by trying to optimize, trying to make things more efficient so I can get more done. Because this work that we're talking about here, you know, that we're all on board with, I believe, is some of, really the most important work that needs to be done. So if I can devote more of my time because I'm more efficient at other parts of my life, then that's what I'm doing. And if there's opportunities, which the opportunities have presented themselves, a lot of times, you know, I've been in business long enough, you can't force an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They just show up, right? And you either are ready to do something about it or not. And usually it doesn't show up at the time that's most convenient for you. I've also found that. So you have to be ready. So we feel like we're ready. I never would have thought we've got this many. No, I think we have 17 events on the calendar. Never would have thought that, especially not after the pandemic. I was concerned that we might never have any more events again. But I will tell you, thankfully, all of our events are outdoors. All of our festivals have always been fully outdoors. I know I've taken some flack from some people about that in the past, but I feel like moving forward, that's the way to go. And I also feel like, you know, one of the things we brought on to make our events more fun and more, give more opportunities at our events is this giant video wall that I pull in the Tesla. Dr. Tuttle saw me. We were not only living out of the Tesla, we were pulling this 5,000 pound double axle trailer with all of our equipment for the festivals in it, including this giant video wall, which is like an outdoor billboard. If you guys have seen those on the side of the road, they're super bright now. You know, you can see them in full sunlight, and that's the same technology of the screen. It's 6 feet tall by 12 feet wide, and it allows us to have people like Dr. Greger, who had never did an outdoor event until I convinced him that people could read his PowerPoints on our screen out inside in the middle of the day, you know, and he did show up at one of our events before the pandemic, actually. I had him scheduled for four events, but he only made one because of everything getting shut down. But needless to say, we have this technology, we have the screen, we're taking it to more events. I feel like it when people show up at some of these events, you know, we can put so much media on there. Like Dr. Tuttle is actually going to be doing, like he's doing now, a live broadcast, but he's going to be on our video wall for two of the events in Florida. We've already talked about that, and we've got some other speakers that are doing the same thing. This is a new feature we're doing this year, and I feel like it'll be just like they're there. And there's no travel expenses. There's no, you know, energy spent. Just going to our event and going back, right? Because there's a lot, it's a lot for one talk. And we used to do that with speakers all the time. And there's, of course, expenses along with that too, which don't have to happen. And our video wall is bigger than life. You know, if, you know, you can imagine if someone, I don't know if I'm full on the screen right now, depending upon the way you have it set up, but we'll set it up so that, like, when Dr. Tuttle's talking, he is just Dr. Tuttle talking, and he can share his screen or any graphics he wants, so he can go back to himself, and he'll be on a video wall that's 6 feet tall by 12 feet wide, so it'll be, like, bigger than he would be if he was actually at the event.
Right. I know. I remember that in Ocala. And I know. I think it's so great for people to understand that, how you're able to travel in this Tesla car pulling this huge, heavy trailer, which has nothing, none of your stuff in it. It's just the sound system, the video wall, all this technology. And you set it up and you have like a first class, better than first class operation going. And then you invite local businesses. I really love that. You invite all the local businesses who are in any way vegan-oriented to have booths, right?
Yes. It's literally, it could be anyone, as long as they don't bring animal products and they don't discuss animal products. That's
right.
Our only our rules, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're supporting the local economy and along the way and helping to keep the vegan movement growing, because I think this whole thing with COVID in many ways has been a kind of a body blow to the vegan movement, and we haven't been able to just keep the momentum growing like we did for so long in many ways. Things have kind of shut down. A lot of vegan restaurants have gone out of business and so forth. So it's really a light in the darkness to see all these events going on. Do you see, not to be negative, but I'm just to ask you, what are your major concerns with these at this point?
Well, the challenges would be just getting enough, I'd say, exhibitors to show up and enough attendees to show up. And, you know, there's no cost for attendees. We keep it free. We ask for some donations if they want to give us some money. But that's all online if they want to go do that. We don't go around, you know, there's no gate to go into. People just show up, anybody just walking down the street. We try to have them in public places so that we get the general public showing up, just people walking by. And so those are the biggest challenges, I'd say, because any event, right, anything that happens at a venue, right, has really been, hurt in the last 2 years. I'd say, you know, anything at a venue, and that includes us with our events, but we have stuff, you know, we have social media too, we have online communities there, which have actually grown, but we do still think that our most important job is to reach the people that have not been reached yet. That's how we look at it.
Right, right. Wow. Listen, I want to just say to everyone, if you have a question for Mike or any comment you'd like to make, go ahead and just raise your hand. I think you press *6 to do that, and we can ask him a question. There'll be, of course, quite a few people who will listen in later to the recording, so they'll depend on us asking their questions for them. But the other thing, I guess, it's basically getting the turnout. With the pressure that people feel, the fear people feel maybe to be with other people's presence, you know, that kind of thing. But hopefully, you're promoting. So can you just tell us maybe if you have just a rough idea, you probably don't remember all 17, but where are these 17 events basically? And then also, how can people find out where they are? Maybe we have people who want to know, or they have friends in the cities where these are going to be. So if you could just tell us that would be great.
Yes. Well, I do have them all memorized.
Okay.
Even the dates.
But, I know how that is, actually.
if you go to our plantbaseddiet.org website, you can find a tab called VegFest. Or you can just type in ecofest.info, and that'll take you straight to that tab. You'll see the different states that we're in on the East Coast of the United States, and you can click through those and see which different cities we are in. I can tell you the route. We have to have a route because we can't just be driving zigzag all across up and down the East Coast. You know, it would not be efficient. it would never happen. It would never work with this kind of stuff. So I can tell you, give you a quick rundown and see if I can remember them all. We start with Loudoun County outside of D.C. in October 10th. Then we have a Plants to Table, which is our Farm to Table event the weekend after on the 17th. Then we get on the Raleigh, North Carolina, October 31st, Halloween Day. We're trying to think if we have a theme for that or not. Around, I don't even know, but that's what it is, Halloween Day.
Pumpkins.
Pumpkins, yeah. And then we head to Florida. And so then we do Naples Veg Fest, two Sundays before Thanksgiving. Then during the week, actually, I have a talk at one of the communities reached out to me. It's actually not on our calendar yet because it's a private talk, but it might be on our calendar. So we can be on the lookout for that if you're in Southwest Florida. But then the week after Naples Veg Fest, which is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we have Cape Coral Veg Fest in Cape Coral. Then we take a break for Thanksgiving, a little break. I'm not sure what we're doing yet for then. Then we're in Sarasota, Florida on the 5th of December. And then we have our Plants to Table at the farm in Florida, in Bonita Springs. Farmer Mike's, who we've been working with for a number of years now.
Right.
So we did this event at his facility, his farm, right in the fields and everything last year, and it was a pretty cool event. So it'll be second year for that. Then we go into January. We got Fort Myers Veg Fest in Fort Myers. We're also staying in south of Florida there. Then Denise and I go down to Ecuador because we have the Amazon Fruit Festival, which we're actually helping to promote. That's not on our website yet, but that's a reminder now for me to put that on the website. So that's at the Intentional Community Terra Fruit, and the community down the river, Fruit Haven. So if you guys are interested in that, you can, go internet search Amazon Fruit Festival, because like I said, it's not on our website yet. Then we come back, and in February, we're up in Gainesville for the Plants to Table event at the forum there. On Saturday, the 4th, I think it is, and then Sunday, the 5th of February, is Gainesville Veg Fest. Then we go back to Southwest Florida for our biggest one, which is Southwest Florida Veg Fest. And that's going to be, instead of being at a public park, like in the center of town, like most all these events I've described to you, they're all in locations that have lots of people walking by public parks. Southwest Florida Veg Fest is the one that we've had for the longest. So this will be the 5th year we've had that one. We took a break last year for this one. But it'll be on Farmer Mike's in the Plants Only Farm. So it'll be pretty cool. And we do have Dr. T. Colin Campbell has agreed months ago, actually, to do a remote presentation. Because we've tried to get him to come down to South of Florida, and he's getting, he's almost 90 years young at this point in time. So
right.
He's going to do a remote presentation for that one. So, and of course, Dr. Tuttle's going to be at all these as well. So yeah, then I've got Miami. Let's go quickly to the rest of them. Charlotte County, which is in Punta Gorda, if you know where that is. Then we go up to Ocala. Then we help out Shannon again in north of Tampa. I can't remember the name of it. It's
Tarpon Springs or no?
It might be Tarpon Springs. Yeah, it might be. It's Solid Rock Community School, which is a plant-based school. That's where her son Vegan Evan goes. So we helped them out with that last year. We're helping them out again. Then we go up to Savannah, Georgia. Then we go up to Wake Forest, North Carolina, which is a suburb of Raleigh. Then we're in Fairfax County, Virginia, working with Green Fair Organic Cafe, if you guys are familiar with them. If not, you definitely want to find out about them. They are the healthiest restaurant in the world, and we work with them a lot. Actually, I'm trying to schedule a movie showing with them in their parking lot, potentially. That's not on our calendar yet, but it will be in October if we do it. And then we head up to New England for the Mountain Veg Fest, and then over to Erie, Pennsylvania, for another Veg Fest over there. So summers are very light for us. There's only those two events. It might be a third one in West Virginia. I think it's on the calendar, but I'm not sure about that one yet. But we have a long way to go until that one happens.
Wow. That's great. I know, Madeline and I lived in an RV, a fifth-wheel trailer, for 17 years, and I could do the same thing. We had a tour, and we had to go slowly north in the spring and slowly south in the fall, and we were every weekend, we were booked somewhere doing events. So it's just a great life. I mean, I just love that the life of just spreading the message and being on the road and meeting wonderful people everywhere you go, really. People on the same page, basically, and doing, doing a mission, really, is what you have, which is something that can help other people with a similar mission. You can help them and they can help you. And, we really work together on this. So it's very inspiring to see you're kind of going against the current. There's this sort of current of closing down and fear and
right.
All this baloney, and you're just going in the opposite direction, which is to keep the heart open and keep possibilities open. And come on, everybody, let's remember why we're here on this earth. Let's not get lost in all this delusion of fear and separateness. So, very inspiring. Yeah.
Let me also mention, I don't know if I talked to you about this, but Denise and I, 2 weekends ago, went to the farm in Tennessee. And I know I know listening to your talk, you were there. And it was interesting because I had tried to go before during COVID when we were taking our cross country trip last winter. We wanted to stop by, but they weren't allowing any visitors.
Right.
And anyway, we finally got in. They said they just started allowing visitors, and we got our own private tour of the eco village there, and then a tour all the way around the whole property. And it was very, very interesting, especially since we're involved in these intentional communities in Ecuador, to listen and to learn from the experience that's happened over there and to see where it is today. And Dr. Tuttle, I don't know if you followed how they've been doing over the years, but maybe you can comment. It was eye-opening to me and a little bit, I don't know, I felt like maybe we're moving in the right direction, seeing how things have turned out over there. I don't know. Is there any comment?
Well, yeah, thanks. It's neat to know because I called them probably 8 months ago and they said, oh no, we're all closed down. And I was kind of disappointed to hear that, but it was about maybe, when was it? It was in 2012, I think it was. We actually put on a World Peace Diet facilitator training at the farm. And so we were there for 4 days and we had about, I guess, 25 or 30 people came in and took the World Peace Diet training, and we worked together with people living at the farm. This guy, it was an amazing connection. I mean, I couldn't believe it. He was, when Ed and I went through back in 1975, we were walking with no money or anything. We were walking through Kentucky, and we stopped in some little town in Kentucky. And this, when we usually stayed on the floor of a church. And this guy was a minister, and he said, you know, there's this community out in the woods. I think you guys have a lot in common. And he said, I'll just take you out there. So he took us out to this community, and it was a bunch of hippies in 1975, and there were not that many, maybe 10. And one of them was named Douglas, I remember. And we stayed there for a few days, and they showed us around, and we cut wood, and we helped build a house, and we were doing all this stuff, and it was freezing cold. I mean, it was miserable. You know, it was like really hard living. It was like you're out in the woods building. You had to cut your wood and make a fire and really living very primitively. And then we continued on from there, and we walked down to the farm. And when we got to the farm, we continued on, and that, you know about that. We lived at the farm for a while, and that's where I became a vegetarian. And but then the interesting thing was, then many, many years later, in 2012, we thought we'll go back to the farm and do a World Peace Diet training there, and we did. And we worked the whole time with this guy named Douglas. I didn't ring a bell with me at all. We worked together. We had a great time. He's fantastic. He and his wife, and we put the events on together, and he organized all the lodging and the food and everything. And Madeline, you know, cooked a lot of it, and other people. But anyway, at the very end, it suddenly dawned on me that this was the same guy who was in Kentucky when, you know, he was the Douglas that was in Kentucky. It was the same guy. And it was like, what an amazing, beautiful connection. And so we've always been hoping we could go back to the farm again and do another, World Peace Diet training there. And so that's why I was kind of disappointed they're closed, but maybe if they open up, we can even do that again. Yeah, we love that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're open. Yeah, that's good to hear they're open because, it's still open. If anybody wants to live there, I mean, they're open to people living. It's not like it was when we were there. It was completely, really radical. Everybody contributed and nobody had any money. If you needed some money, you went to the store and they gave you some money and, whatever you needed. But it was like a pure, really pure, really totally different thing. But now you kind of everybody takes care of themselves financially, but it's very equitable. It's not as radical vegan-wise either. There are vegans there, but there are also people who are not vegan, but there's no slaughtering of animals on the property. They just don't look in your refrigerator to see what you're eating. But I have a really good feeling, and they still have the book publishing company there, which is the largest vegan cookbook publishing company in the whole country. So, as far as I know, it's a neat place. You know, it's a possible place that you could even, they have a lot of, many generations. I mean, they have a lot of older hippies in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and then, younger and young kids. And, you know, it's actually a, I think a really neat place. At least last time I was there, it's been quite a few years now, but, it's open.
Yeah, it's definitely open. The guy who gave us a tour, I can't remember his name. I have to look at my phone. I was texting him before we got there. But he grew up on the farm. He was born there, I think, or born in one of the buses or something, and he spent his entire life there. So it's really interesting to hear his perspective of what's going on. But one thing that struck me, and my wife, after being in these communities in Ecuador and going to the farm, is that the farm doesn't seem to really be growing that much, you know? I mean, they've got so much land, but they don't seem to have many people there, right? That's what we noticed.
Right.
And, you know, that,
They need people. They actually really need people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's just, I don't know why. I mean, it's like a great place in a way. It's got a lot of potential. It's a beautiful. They have a great swimming hole. We went swimming every day, and they've got a 1,000 acres of land. And
so much land, yeah.
But you just have to, you know, and it's not that expensive. I mean, it's really, it's a great, amazing opportunity, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, I just figured I'd report on that too. We will have a video. I haven't produced it yet. I'm so far behind in that. I'm trying to, wherever we go, like, we usually travel on weekends now since we're not doing festivals, and then I've got video clips of everywhere we're going. I just haven't had time to put that one together yet.
Hey, tell people about your video channel.
Yeah, well, it's the same as a nonprofit here, aplantbaseddiet.org.
Yeah.
Just go to YouTube, and we've got, I say most of the stuff, let's see, that's anything that is focused on veganism, plant-based lifestyle, all that is on that channel. Now, I also have another channel called adigitalnomad.net, adigitalnomad.net, and that's kind of a channel I just made up back in 2016 about just where I thought everything was going. I figured back then, well, it's only a matter of time until we're all just on the go everywhere because we'll be connected. And that's what that channel is about. So actually, every place that we take trips to has a longer video on that one. And we do throw things in about veganism and plant-based because people see that's all we eat. But it's
right,
not.
Yeah.
That's not the main concept of that channel, though, just to let you know the differences between the two.
Yeah, you had one, I think, also Tesla RV or something like that,
yes.
Which was really fun. We looked at that. It's just all your adventures around the world, around the country in your Tesla RV.
That's right. I didn't mention that. Thanks for reminding me, because we did that on a whim. Literally within 2 weeks of us leaving, which was early November last year, almost a year ago, we decided on a whim, let's go. Let's just go start driving, because Denise, my season, I have a landscape business, actually, which I am not so much of a fan of anymore, traditional landscaping, but I have to work during the plant growing season up here doing that. It's one of my ways of getting money. And it's getting smaller and smaller, but as soon as that was coming to an end, I'm like, well, Denise, you don't have to go back to the office. Why don't I just, you just ride in the back seat of the car. I'll make sure you have internet, and we'll just go. And I want to record it all, too. I want to document the entire thing. So that's what it was. If you go to any search engine on, including YouTube, type in hashtag Tesla RV, you will see our videos. I think we had over 500 videos in that series. And what we had every day was like a montage of the entire day. Usually it had to be split into like 3 or 4 videos because there's so much going on during the day. And then each morning we did like a recap of, okay, what happened yesterday? What was good? What was bad? What do we like? You know, what didn't we like? And so you have the entire thing was documented on there.
That's amazing. That's a labor of love, I can see.
Yeah.
Wow. So I want to thank you. You know, we've taken more time than we normally do, but does anyone want to ask anything or say anything to Mike? I think everybody is just hanging there with their mouths open, amazed at all you're doing.
Yeah, anything at all, feel free to ask. Yeah, and if you have questions that you're not thinking of right now, just my email address is easy to remember. You can either contact on the website or you can – my email is aplantbaseddiet.org @gmail.com. That's the email address.
That is easy. Yeah, one person says, "Wow, Mike, you look like you're about 39." So you must be doing something with your. You do. You look great. I know how that is.
Well, I attribute all of it to mostly the food, right, and the correct food. Not to say that I'm perfect, but I'm always trying to do better, and then just the overall good lifestyle outside of the food too. So.
Right. Right. Excellent. Okay, so this is your last chance, everybody. Just press star six or start talking. Sometimes I can't see people very well. So
I'm interested in knowing more about where your place is, Mike, that you're the solar beautiful structure that you're
Florida.
Building.
Florida.
Yeah, in Florida. Yeah. And I just want to say I'm so inspired by all you're doing. And also, I think in the next few months, I may be moving to Florida, and I just had very little information about, well, are there even vegans in Florida? This is, like, wonderful. I'm so glad to find out about it.
Yeah. Well, if you're talking about moving to Florida, our biggest area is Southwest Florida, and that's actually where the house is going. It's just the house is going to be outside of Fort Myers. And let me also mention with this house, this assumes that we can afford it. Because everything I've described to you costs money, and I'm not sure what the cost is going to be. We finished the design of the house. We haven't heard from the contractor about how much it's going to cost to build it, so we don't know. We will find that out soon, though, in the next couple of weeks. So but it's outside of Fort Myers in the country. It's actually near Babcock Ranch. If you've heard of Babcock Ranch, it's supposed to be the world's first solar town. That's a different solar concept, but it's nearby where this house is. And I would recommend, yeah, my favorite places in Florida, which is where we have most of our contacts and we spend a lot of time, is anywhere in the southwest corner on the Gulf side, anywhere there. And then we also seem to have more and more going on in Ocala and Gainesville area. Yeah, that's a totally different area, right? All that is inland. It's not as hot as the rest of Florida. It's higher elevation. So you'd have to choose. It's a dramatic choice between the two of those areas.
Yeah, I think you're right. Those are the two best, I think, too. The Ocala area is we love it because of the springs and all the crystal clear rivers and beautiful forests and things.
Yeah.
But we also love Southwest Florida. It's just heavenly nice. And Sanibel Island and the whole area there, it's gorgeous.
Yes, my wife and I got married on Sanibel at the beach, on the beach at sunset.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, almost 3 years ago. Yeah.
It's a good way to start. Okay, yep. Chrissy, do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, just a quick one. Mike, I was wondering if you have any events planned in St. Augustine. That's where my parents live, and I tend to visit there a lot.
Well, they're coincidentally, although I don't believe in a coincidence necessarily, but everything happens for a reason, right? The person that handed off Gainesville Veg Fest to us just recently is also involved in the Veg Fest there in St. Augustine, which just happened for the first time in May. And there is a possibility that they also might be having us run that event in the near future. We don't know. And I don't know anything for sure on that. That's just a possibility. So I could tell you that one happened in May and they're supposed to do another one. And it might be up.
Okay, great, cool, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Great, thanks. Hello. Thanks, Chrissy. How about Joy, did you have your hand up?
Star? Yes, aloha everybody from Maui. Mike, thank you. I am the VegFest producer here in Hawaii, so I know what it is to produce one large event, let alone everything you're doing, so that's amazing. My question is, mostly I've not even consider trying to start up again here because we are, the government here is very, one of the stricter ones. And in fact, starting today, they just put us in another 30-day lockdown starting today. We have vaccine passports. We have, now restrictions on outdoor gatherings of 10 people and indoor of 5. And so it's just been crazy here, and obviously it's not like that in all of these other places. We've been hearing about Florida and Texas. I'm just wondering if you have any advice or mitigation strategies that you've done in order to accommodate the government restrictions. Like, what are the kinds of things that you've been having to go through, and any advice on how to get around it, or even just honestly the I've been feeling even like, even if I could, do I even want to gather 5,000 people together? Like, what if there was, like, I don't know. I've just had a lot of mixed feelings about it. So I'm kind of on hold as an event producer, but I'd like all your thoughts about that as an event producer.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. We've been fortunate, as I mentioned, that more than half of our events are in Florida. And as you mentioned, you're hearing about Florida and Texas. Florida opened up before anyone else. Florida actually opened up last September, I believe. But we didn't even have any events till January of this year because we didn't think anyone would necessarily want to show up. Okay. Or they would throw us under the bus and say that we killed people. You know, something like that. I mean, seriously, that went through our minds, right? But then after the first event, we realized none of that happened. Then we did another event, and it kept getting better each time. I think that people need to see that it can happen and that people don't get hurt. And in terms of the regulations from the government, it's so specific, right? It's so place-specific, and you're only in one place, but we can see going to different places, there's a wide range of requirements or no requirements. And I would say, like, Florida, for the most part, has very little, if any, requirements in this regard, except for, I will tell you, Gainesville.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, they're a university town. It's all centered around the University of Florida there. And they've already told me right up front, they're like, you know what, it's very possible that the city might, at some point in time, just say there are no more events allowed, lockdown, like you said, and we might have to just reschedule or cancel. And I said, okay, and we're willing to take that because that's just, it's either that or we don't do anything. So we'll at least try, and we've got other events. Actually, that weekend, Dr. Tuttle, you know, we have the one at the farm over there that same weekend, the night before, actually. So we'll have something no matter what. But in terms of, if you're asking if is it possible to ask the government to loosen up, I don't think there is. I mean, we just have to comply. That's what we've done. But fortunately, with outdoor events in the places we've been, hasn't been too strict. Really, they're still letting us do it. The fact that they're letting us do it and that they're not letting you do it, I guess that just shows the different levels of regulation that folks are willing to handle. And I guess it's the voters.
It's honestly the first time I've ever really considered moving away from Hawaii because I've just been shocked. I'm shocked at what's happening here the last year and a half. And even just to have an event, I mean, it's a mandate now even to wear your mask outdoors. And I was just like, I can't throw an event where everybody's masked. I just can't do it. You know, like I don't know. So it sounds like your solution has been to pick the areas that basically don't have restrictions, make the most of that, and then also, so there hasn't been any situations where it's been kind of hybrid, where you've had to have certain protocols that are...
Well, we in the beginning of the year, looking back at the events we did in Florida, January, February, March, we did say that at those events, because we were asked by the venues to do this, to say that we recommend you wear a mask. That's all we did. We didn't get mad at somebody. We didn't keep insisting somebody do something. We just did it, and we complied with that regulation, and that was it. A lot of people did, and a lot of people didn't, and we were fine with it either way, you know. So, yeah, I mean, let me also clarify something you just mentioned, that we look for places that will allow the events. We actually never did that. We have just been very fortunate in the fact that in areas where we have larger audiences, that they just happen to be in areas that are allowing these things. And it could have gone the other way. I mean, like, we have two events outside of D.C. You know, D.C., it tends to be, I don't know, well, obviously, it's a politicized issue. Obviously, I'm not speaking from politics. Actually, we don't get in politics because we're a 501c3 and we're not allowed to. But it seems like the more liberal or the more blue area, the harder and harsher and more clamped down the regulations. And we're in D.C., which you think might be just like that, but we're in the suburban counties right outside of that, and they're letting us have two events. You know, so it's not, we just were very fortunate, I'd say, in the way things have worked out. And, yeah, if we were told that we couldn't have events at all, and I felt strongly because I do, I feel like part of our education, actually, this is my own personal opinion, is that we need to educate folks to understand why those types of things, even though we can't get into the politics, I have to do it in a very delicate manner, are maybe overstepping someone's bounds, and that we should be focusing more on true health and obtaining and optimizing health, right, through the proper methods, which we all know what they are here. So that's what we're really trying to focus on, and I feel like it's more important than ever for us to convey this message, especially if they're letting us have events.
Right. Well said, Mike.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so much. And just on behalf of VegFest organizers everywhere, your courage is inspiring. Thanks for leading the way.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. It's been just a delight to have you with us. I think we should probably stop the thing. Oh, is somebody saying something?
This is Christina. I just want to ask Mike if I got his email right. Is it
a little louder, Christina, can you? Can you do it a little louder?
Yes.
She's asking about the email, if you have it right. Yeah, I can verify. It's aplantbaseddiet.org, aplantbaseddiet.org, at gmail.com.
Okay, and base is B-A-S-E-D.
Yeah, aplantbaseddiet.org at gmail.com. And I'll put it in the email so everybody will have it, since he's freely giving it out. So
I'm sending a link to both of you. There's a place in Oklahoma, in Edmond, Oklahoma, called Indigo Acres, and it is a farm to table. They have a event, so I'm just sending you a link and I'll send it. Thank you.
Okie doke. Thanks, Christina. Yes.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you so much, Mike. It's really been wonderful to have you with us here, and I'll go ahead in the email I send out to everybody, I'll put your contact information in your website, and we're looking forward to seeing you, and hopefully some of the people, all of you on the call, or if you have friends in these cities, please join us, and maybe we can also inspire people in other areas. Like you said, Mike, it seems to be one of those things where the more rural or more red areas tend to be more loose, but then to get a large number of people, usually you're in a more blue urban area. So that's the difficulty, you know. So we have to find ways to get those people out into the country to join, have a gathering or something like that. But the main thing is that the vegan spirit of love and compassion and questioning the official narratives in our society keeps getting stronger and keep spreading that message. So
yes.
Really appreciate
all the work you're doing, Dr. Tuttle, as well. And thank you so much for allowing me to be here to talk with everyone. Thank you.
You're so most welcome. Thanks so much, Mike. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Big, big hug to you and Denise. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So, we just have, this is really like a one of a kind of opportunity because, you know, my heart personally is really in grassroots activism, as you folks probably know. I mean, I put up with all this internet stuff. I think it's good. It's good too. But just being with the people, seeing them, and you know, giving them a hug and talking and so forth. I think that's where we really make so many of our actual, not only human to human contacts, but I think breakthroughs happen through that. Really, the kind of thing you can't replicate that. We need more human-to-human contact, not less. And the whole, thing we've been seeing with COVID for the last year and a half, or almost year and a half, almost getting on 2 years, has really put a damper on that. So thank you, Mike, again, for your efforts. So now, there was a woman who wrote to me, I just want to not forget this, and I think I promised her I would discuss it on the call tonight, which is, let me just check something. Yeah, we got a few comments in the chat, and those are great. Someone just, and I think it's a good thing just to address. She was saying that she hoped that I would talk a little bit about zoos, because she was telling the story that she saw a video of a woman who was a teacher, and she showed a picture of two animals. I think they were like jaguars, and one of the jaguars looked really beautiful and strong and healthy in the picture, and she was showing this to the children in the class, And the other jaguar looked the opposite. It looked kind of weak and unhealthy. And the difference between the two was that one was a photograph taken in the wild and one was a photograph taken in a zoo. And obviously the one in the zoo did not look strong, happy, healthy, or anything like that. And then she said the irony was that she said to the children, so we're all going to go to the zoo and we're going to see if we can see any healthy animals there. So the underlying idea here is that very often the only real contact that we're having as human beings, especially children, you know, children have such an amazing attraction to animals and fascination with them. Like I know I did when I was a kid. I used to love going to the zoo because I love seeing animals and elephants and lions and tigers and bears and all this stuff. And yet as the years have gone by, especially since I've become a vegan, which was like over 40 years ago, I have this huge, I detest zoos with a passion I can hardly imagine. I mean, I really hate them. I guess what really bothers me is that they very often sort of wrap themselves in this cloak of education and of bringing nature to people. People don't go to nature, so we're bringing it to them. And we're saving animals somehow, like by captive breeding them, they're saving them. Like they wrap themselves in this cloak of benevolence, when underneath that veneer is just the grossest cruelty, commercialism, the deliberate breeding of these animals, selling them from one zoo to another zoo because they know when they had a new baby animal in the zoo, it's going to bring a lot of people in. So they're constantly raping these animals, impregnating them against their will, trying to get more babies. Babies are where the money is. And then when they get old, they send them off to these places and where they shoot them for sport very often, to these canned hunt places. So they just shoot them and kill them. And yet they portray this, they have this happy face and this caring face, and kids think that these zoos are something good. And I think it's even much worse than what I'm saying already. Already that's just only part of the story. I mean, at a much deeper level, what are people learning? You know, people say, oh, it's good to take them to the zoo. They're learning about animals. That's below complete hogwash. They're learning that we human beings are inherently superior, and it's totally fine to just the most horrible violence to these animals, to confine their bodies, which you've heard me talk about that, how there's nothing worse you can do to a free living animal than to confine their body. They'll bite off their own leg or do whatever they can to get out of being captured and lose their freedom. They are much more intelligent than we are. We give up our freedom. We don't even care. They really care about their freedom. And they'll give their lives to defend it. But we capture them, we throw them in these cages, and then we do the worst thing. Then we have them bred in captivity. So it's clear to me that any people who are not slaves would never go to a zoo. I mean, they would be viscerally disgusted just walking into such a place. Only slaves, complete abject slaves, would ever go to a zoo. That's the only people who would ever go to a zoo. I mean, it's just the most hideous display of human arrogance and bigotry towards other living beings, that we just put them into a miserable situation so we can ogle them and look at them there where they can't do anything. And then, of course, we sort of give them a little more space and say, now this is a good one because it has more room, they can run around. But they can't live their lives as they normally would. So this complete taking over of habitat of wildlife by humanity over the last, especially a few hundred years, especially, but you know, it's been going on more and more for thousands of years, but just really picked up here. I think it just makes the vegan movement so essential on every level, because the thing about veganism, besides the fact that it's the motivation is respect for other living beings and not imprisoning them, not stealing from them, not impregnating them and sexually abusing them, and all this stuff, which is done by the entertainment of animals, by the food from the animals, by testing of products, of all these medical products, including all the so-called vaccines, are all tested on animals. They're all non-vegan. And that's really disgraceful to me, how many vegans now, so-called vegans, and vegan, so-called vegan doctors are promoting toxic injections that are tested on animals and kill, you know, thousands of animals. But this underlying idea that veganism is questioning all of this, and it's based on respect and kindness for other living beings and ecosystems and future generations and workers and indigenous people and our own human bodies. And it's also vastly more efficient in growing food. So we could actually allow habitat to come back. The main problem that's destroying the habitat of wildlife, and while we're in the middle of the largest mass extinction in 65 million years, is because of, as you all know this, it's just this hideous inefficiency of growing all this grain to feed the animals. And we saw this when we were in Africa, and we were able to really be in places where there was still wildlife habitat where animals could live freely. But quite honestly, a lot of these animals, the only way they're going to live freely is in preserves. They have these large preserves, as you know, and otherwise they just get killed. And then there's all these small private preserves where they hunt them. I mean, they're everywhere, just hundreds of them. So the situation for animals has deteriorated dramatically. And I think, again, veganism is, at its core, is questioning all of these underlying mentalities of domination and exploitation of the strong, of the weak by the strong. And underlying a lot of this, of course, you see money. I mean, it's the profit motive. That's really what pushes these things. And I think what we're seeing happening all around us now is just a quickening of the tempo of the changes that have been happening for a long time. Now, actually, we're seeing humanity itself, as I wrote in my recent article, the vaccination of humanity, the word vaca meaning cow and the word vaccinia meaning cowpox. And so we had the invention of the word vaccination, which comes from the word cow. And the idea is that we ourselves as humanity are going from being not just slaves in many ways, which is what we've been without realizing it, but to literal just chattel livestock property, where we're losing our fundamental rights of assembly, of religion, of speech, of bodily autonomy, and we seem to be willing to just give it up without much thought. And that, to me, I think, shows the power, really, of the real virus, actually. The real virus is not a virus, some kind of physical virus. The real virus is a mind virus. It's a mind virus that is being injected into people. It's injected into people. I think I'm so lucky, in a way, being born back in the 1950s in a relatively rural, open-minded kind of a place where my father said, just don't go to a doctor, you'll be okay. And and we had this kind of freedom. You know, I didn't have any rules. I ran around the town. I came and went. We never locked our doors for anything. It was just, there was no fear. There was very little fear of anything. Our dogs ran around. I mean, it was really such a different world. And this gradual oppression, and seeing, you know, I just interviewed T. Colin Campbell for this upcoming summit that we're having. I should probably just talk about that here at the end. And he was saying, T. Colin Campbell was telling me how the worst thing that's been happening, one of the worst things that's been happening in our society is the loss of academic freedom. And he was saying how when he was, you know, back in the 80s, he remembers very clearly that at that point, virtually all the professors had tenure. Tenure was very common. And tenure means you've got a job and you're not going to lose it. Even if you write an article they don't like, even if you say things they don't like, they believe, you know, academic freedom was the foundation of everything. You could speak your mind without fear of getting fired from your job and being released. And he said that under Reagan and subsequent administrations, they got laws changed and policies changed, and it went from 80% tenured to now it's around 25% tenure. So most of the faculty now in most university, and virtually all the universities and colleges around the country, they're not tenured. So if they say the wrong thing, if they question the official narrative, they're gone. And we see the censorship just exploding. People are afraid to speak out. MDs, they just a couple of weeks ago passed a new regulation, the Federation of State Medical Boards, it's called the FMSB, passed this regulation that any health professional who in any way disagrees with the official government policy on the medical situation and what's going on with COVID will lose their license. That's it. It's already happened to Dr. Paul Thomas, who just basically published an article showing that unvaccinated children were basically healthier than vaccinated children, and he lost his license just over that. Just telling the truth, he lost his license. And that's a powerful message to Neil Bernard and Michael Greger and all these people who are completely telling everybody, you've got to go take this vaccination. And, you know, these doctors are in gold cages. Everybody looks up to them, but they can't say anything, or they'll lose their job. So they go along, with a blatantly repressive, violent system that's the antithesis of the vegan ideals of kindness, compassion, respect for animals and for each other and for our freedom and the freedom of all beings, and just destroy all that, as if, we're good people, because it's only the vaccine deniers that are the bad people. So we see this whole thing unfolding, and I'm just really, really happy to see that there are people who are I'm not advocating criticizing people. I'm really not. I'm just saying that this is the situation. This is the way it's played out, and it's tremendous pressure on good people to not actually be good people anymore, to actually be part of an oppressive system. And this is what's happening. So again, it just warms my heart to see anything that's moving in the opposite direction. So I want to close besides talking about the importance of questioning all forms of oppression of animals and of human animals, and not participating in them as best we can. And I would say some people are saying, we should actually be, again, going back to what we used to do, which is civil disobedience. You just don't obey. Don't go along with things that are harmful to humans or animals. And be willing, if you have to break laws or break mandates. Most of the stuff is just mandates. And then the other thing is to just tell everybody, because this is a good opportunity, I'm sorry it's at the very end here, that we are, two big things, we are doing the summit. I've been working so hard in front of my computer every day for the last few weeks to put this. It's a huge job. Anyway, it's called the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom. We've got Dr. T. Colin Kim. I think I mentioned this before, but lots of great people, Gabriel Cousins and Pam Popper and Brian Clement and Claire Mann and Hannah Marie, a lot of wonderful vegan activists who are also speaking out boldly for health freedom. So we're doing this. It's going to be October 15th to 17th. So I'll send you all a link to it. The sales page just went live today, finally, the main page. And so that's happening in mid-October. That's an online event. And then Madeline and I are also planning our own lecture tour. And the highlight of it, and I hope you can maybe join us on the way or tell people, is the Vegan Spirituality Conference at Unity Village, which will be September 30th, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And it's wonderful to see they're just going ahead with it, just like Mike, the spirit of Mike Young. We're just going to have it no matter what. And we're having a lot of people saying, well, I'm not going to come if people aren't wearing masks, and I'm not going to come if people aren't vaccinated. So it's okay, don't come then if you really don't want to. But we still have it seems like we have a good crowd that are coming, and they're allowing everybody at this point to do however they want. People can wear masks if they want or not if they don't want to. And so we're looking forward to that. And we have events scheduled on the way in Sedona and in Prescott. We couldn't do something in Albuquerque because they really wanted us to wear masks, and we're not going to do it. So we're not doing something there, but we are doing something in Oklahoma City. Also in Denver, we've got a great event in Denver on the way back, and also it looks like we're getting something in Reno. The library wanted us to wear a mask there, so we're not doing it, but I think we've got another place. So if you know anybody in those cities, we are setting up events, and if you know, have any other ideas, let us know. But I think, you know, the main thing is, however we think about this whole thing, the main thing is to just, I think, do the best we can to be a voice for animals, be a voice for the fundamental principles, really, of ethics, which are to give others the freedom to live their lives and to do our best to celebrate our life and to be a force for love and healing and to awaken out of this the fear. I'll just close with this idea. You know, it was really great, actually. I should mention a couple of days ago on Tuesday, there was an event in Sebastopol. There's a fellow named Derek Brose. You may have heard of Derek Brose. He's from Texas. He lives in Mexico. He's started the Freedom Cell movement, and he also started this movement called the Greater Reset, sort of an anti-Great Reset thing. And so he's doing a tour called the Activation Tour. And so he asked, he and I did an event together in Sebastopol, and it was great. It was sold out. We had, I think, over 100 people, 150 people. They had to close it down. It was all outside, but it was great. We really had kindred spirits, and it was a beautiful event of talking about these ideas. And so he has a whole lecture tour. You can go to activationtour.org if you want to find out where he's going to be. He's going to be in Kansas City. He's going to be all over. He just was in Sedona. It's a 2-month tour that he and his wife are doing in their car. Also, they're traveling around in their car. And they said they could come and go. It was really interesting. They came right into the United States from Mexico, didn't have to show anything, no vaccine, no test, no anything. He said if you go on the website, they say you're not allowed in without a test. It's not true. You can come, you can just drive right in. And it's been like, it's just, that's how it is. You can drive right in. There's no problem. You can drive right into Mexico. So you can drive. It's just if you fly, you have to get all these tests. But if you drive, you can just drive wherever you want. There's no problem. So, that was interesting. But anyway, so he's doing that. And I think, it's beautiful to see, these things happening. But I just want to close with this, teaching, these two teachings from India. That I think are so important. One is the teaching of the elephant and the blind men, right? Somebody came up to five blind men, and they were all around an elephant, and they said, so what's an elephant? And one said, oh, an elephant is a rope, and oh, an elephant is a wall, an elephant is a hose, an elephant is a column, and you know, whatever, an elephant is a leaf, depending on where they were. And they were all right, right? They were all in their own minds were right. So the whole idea is we can fight and argue, and we're all right, because we only see part of the picture. And what we're, I think the goal of a human incarnation is to do the best we can to get to a higher level so we see a bigger picture. And that's, I think, the key thing, to get out of the material level. The material, animal agriculture is materialism, and it keeps us afraid because we're identified with a physical body, which is not what we are. We're what makes this body possible. We are infinite and eternal consciousness that was never born and will never die. And when we remember that, then we live our life, and we're not subject to the fears that come. And so the other one, and this is a one that I think we can always, it's maybe the most important teaching there is in a certain level, is the teaching of the person who's going home at night and in the shadows is suddenly terrified because they see a snake coiled up right there ready to strike. And so they just go into fear and fight or flight. What am I going to do? The snake is ready to attack me. And then they look again and they realize it's not a snake. It's just a coil of rope. And instantly they relax. Oh, oh, there wasn't anything to be afraid of at all. It's all a coil of rope. No matter what it is, it's a coil of rope. There are no snakes. I mean, ultimately, when we realize that, it's all a coil of rope. So I've been kind of working with that and realizing that somehow in my own little way as best I can, because I think that we're taught, we're just being screamed at all the time that it's a snake, be afraid, be very afraid. And we don't see what it really is. We don't see beyond the surface. We don't have our really clear vision. So awaken the wisdom eye. That's the key. All right. I've gone on. We've gone over time. Thank you all again for joining us. I think, what am I going to do here? I'm just going to stop here. All right. So thank you everyone. And let's just, what can we do, for the closing? I think that what we like to do usually, and let's just do it together. We can unmute. Let's unmute. And we'll say our prayer of compassion together, which everyone knows, I think, by now. I'll say it three times. Much love to all of you again. So let's say together, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Woohoo! Very well done. Let's do it again. Compassion
circles all beings everywhere.
Hi, Judy. Compassion circles all beings everywhere.
Yay,
we love you. Wherever you are. Much love to you.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you on the first Thursday. We'll be in somewhere. We'll be in Salt Lake City. We'll see you then in the first Thursday of October. All right. Much love to everyone, and we'll be in touch. Thank you so much. Much love.
Thank you,
Mike.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Namaste, vegan.
Yay, vegan.